probably about a month ago, I'm going to hold this, that we know, I'm just really going to talk about the leaflets, that Dave brought a sort of mock-up to the leaders' meeting, and Kevin and I looked at it and we thought, actually, I think it's a good idea. And then, as I prayed about it, I thought, actually, I think it's a God idea. There's a difference, isn't there? We want to do what God wants us to do. And I particularly like the fact that it was Happy New Year. Something in me resonated with that, that we just weren't telling people to come and enjoy Christmas, but there's an actual message on it. And since then, we've been having leaders' prayer meetings, and I just said at one leaders' prayer meeting, well, let's have a prayer walk and let's invite the rest of the church to come. And before doing the first prayer walk, I thought, I'll walk this out. And as I was walking, I was praying about it, and I didn't sort of think up a number in my head. I just started praying, and I was just sort of saying, well, Father, it'd be really good if... And 12 came to my head, if 12 people came on this prayer walk. Now, that was, I felt quite ambitious, and I thought, well, is that Katie saying that, or is that God? I don't care whether it's Katie or God. I think that sounds quite good. So I just carried on praying. Well, Lord, I think it would be really good to have 12. Yeah, that would be good. And so when we came to have the walk on the clipboard, I put numbers down, 1 to 12, and then a little bit bonus people. It was actually quite an act of faith for me to put those 12. And when we came to that first Monday at 9 o'clock in the car park, there were 12 people there. And something, Debbie had to go later, but there were 12 people there, and I thought, oh, Father, how can you be so good to me? You know, because I thought, well, it doesn't matter. If I've got it wrong, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. But actually, Lord, you gave us 12. And then coming up for the next week, I thought, oh, I don't know, Lord. I don't know if I've got the faith this week. And there were 15. It makes me almost want to cry with happiness because God is so good. And last week I thought, well, I know, I didn't think Dave could come. In fact, he did come. And I thought, well, I know Margaret's got an appointment and I know Maureen couldn't come. And I thought, well, you know, and it's all up the hills. And we still got 12. Isn't God good? And we have one more, and I think we've got up to about 8 or 9 signed up for it. One more tomorrow, which we'll be walking along the Barton, down Pelham, across by the mosque, into Jersey Road. All that Cottesmore Green where Kelly lives. Is Kelly there? And then up Hobbs Road, down Edridge, across the brook that I didn't even know there was a path there. So much of Broadfield that I haven't realised existed until we did these prayer walks. I sort of knew they existed, but I hadn't walked these walks. And then we're going to go down Seaford, along Selsey, and across on top of the Barton, you know, just skirting the courts there. All the time praying, because it's so important that we pray. Because it's going to make a difference. We could have just said, well, we've got these, deliver them to the post office and they'll just be delivered. I somehow didn't feel that's what God wanted. He wanted us to say, yeah, this is something that we are doing. He's the only one that can actually make them make a difference. But we've got to actually put them in. And I think he wants us to do it. Absolutely covered by prayer. And I was listening to Ian's sermon because we weren't here last week. And he said something about when I said after the one prayer walk, it really felt like work. Do you know, it really felt like work to me. One thing is actually keeping focused is quite difficult. But actually, it's a spiritual battle. And I don't know whether everyone knows what I mean by that, because it's sort of Christianese, isn't it? You know, what do we mean? It's a spiritual battle. Because, you know, everyone in the world, there's everyone in the world, and God loves everyone in the world, and he wants everyone in the world to have a relationship with him and to go to heaven. That is what God wants. He loves everyone, and that's what he wants. And the devil, on the other hand, hates God. And therefore, he hates us. And he wants everyone to go to hell. And that's, in a way, the battle that is going on. But the great thing is, you see, that God has got the upper hand. He is way, way more powerful than Satan. Also, God made us. And when he made us in his image. And he made us so that we have, it says, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, we have heaven in our heart, we have eternity in our heart. There is something in every person that wants fulfillment, wants to know that they're loved, wants to feel secure, wants to feel important, wants to know that they count for something. And God put that in us. And he is the only one that can fulfill that. You see, when he made us, all that was provided for. There was paradise. And Adam knew that he was loved, knew that he was secure, knew that he was fun. God provided everything for that. And then Satan came along and deceived Eve with lies, saying that she could find fulfillment apart from God. But it's not true. You cannot find fulfillment apart from God. And all the non-Christians in the world are slaves to the lie that Satan has put out that you can find fulfillment. It's deceptive. You see, Satan says to people, oh, if only you had as much money as you wanted, you would feel fulfillment. And yet, we hear of people that win the lottery, people with millions, that aren't fulfilled. So we know it's not. That's not true. Sometimes he says, well, if you were famous, if you had fame, if you were significant, then you would feel fulfillment. And yet how many famous people do we hear about that have had terrible lives and don't feel at all fulfilled? Or people say, the devil says, if you just pursue pleasure, just enjoy yourself in this life, and that is what is going to bring happiness to you. And it's an absolute lie. When you go hell-bent, as we might say, for pleasure, you end up a slave. You don't find fulfillment. The fulfillment, the pleasures of sin last a little while, don't they? And that's how the devil traps people. But over time, they bring people down, degrade them, make them feel shame. And there's no fulfillment there. And some people that are good type people think, well, we'll find fulfillment in the relationship we have with our family, with one other person perhaps. And it's a lot better than the other ways of trying to find fulfillment. And yet, none of us can find fulfillment in any other person, because no other person is completely nice, completely perfect. They're all like us. And we've all got traits in us that aren't very nice. So So you're never going to find anyone that will completely fulfill you. It's just not possible. And yet Satan is peddling those lies to everyone and saying you'll find fulfillment there. But the truth is that true fulfillment only is found in God. So there's a battle going on, and it's going on mostly in people's minds. And the battle is between Satan wanting to hold people down in slavery and Jesus wanting to bring them into freedom and life. But you know, God has won the battle. And however much anyone has gone down the wrong road, the devil can do nothing, absolutely nothing, to stop them coming into relationship with God. Because Jesus died for us, and now anyone, whatever they've done in the past, can come into that loving relationship with God. That's the brilliant thing. The devil is absolutely powerless to stop people who want to become Christians. And so as we walk around the estate, I don't know, I've been saying, look, Father, there are people on this estate that you're speaking to. You realise that God's speaking to everyone all the time, do you? He's speaking to Christians, but he's speaking to non-Christians too. But so often we don't recognise what he's saying. And there'll be non-Christians in Broadfield that at this moment God is speaking to. And this is where I'm feeling these leaflets are going to come in. Because it says life can be difficult. And there will be people feeling, yeah, that's difficult for me. It doesn't always turn out exactly the way we had planned. Sometimes our dreams get shattered. Our resolutions don't last very long, or they just get put on hold. Our attitude might change from hope-filled to hopeless. And I'm just praying that there will be people that read that and say, yeah, that is where I am. I'm feeling pretty hopeless at the moment. It's good to make a fresh start, a new beginning with a new hope. And I'm hoping that they will think, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to start. I want to do things right. And it says the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the ultimate reason to have hope for our future. Why not join us and find out more about how you can have a hope-filled 2013? I'm just asking that God will just enlighten that to people. I think, can I have a hope-filled 2013? And suddenly then I think, actually, maybe I can. Why don't I join them? See, I'm praying about five things for these leaflets. I'm praying that they will attract people, because they're not white. Okay? So I'm really praying that people will notice them. I'm praying that people will read that and that it will spark something in them, that they will think, actually, I want a better life for myself. I'm not satisfied. And I'm praying that they will actually resolve to do something about it. And then I'm praying that they will actually come to church. And then I'm praying that we will welcome them. And I'm praying that they will feel God's presence in our worship. And then I'm praying that they will decide to follow Jesus. Because that's the point, isn't it? We're not putting all these around every house in Broadfield just so everybody knows that we exist. That's one thing. But that's not enough, is it? I want more than that. I don't want people just to know that we exist. I want people to change their lives. I want them to come from being hopeless to hope-filled. Now, I know there's 5,000 there, and I don't expect 5,000 to come to this church. I would love it, but I don't expect it. So I'm saying to God, well, Father, increase my faith. What do I expect? And do you know what I'm expecting? And I'll tell you what I'm expecting, and I think it's a bit pathetic, but I'm expecting double numbers. Okay? And I'm saying to God, I know that's a bit pathetic, because it's about 0.5% or something, but I'm still expecting that, Lord. And look, Lord, I'm not just wanting them coming into the church, I'm wanting changed lives. And God wants us to expect that these leaflets will change people's lives. They're pieces of paper, but God can use them. We've just got to deliver them out. God's got all the work to do. Is God good at doing stuff?
Yes,
he is. And so I just feel it's been really good that we've been walking around Broadfield proclaiming that he is Lord and that he has authority and that he is actually talking to people and that there will be people in Broadfield that are thinking, actually, life isn't good and I want to change. I actually am asking God, I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't want a whole lot of people coming to the church with loads of problems that don't want to change. Because we can't cope with that. But Lord, I want a whole lot of people coming to church with problems, yes, but problems that they want to change. Because then God's going to do the work, isn't he? Not us. And you know, there is nothing better in the world than to see what God does in another person's life. It's brilliant. There is no buzz better than seeing someone's life changed. It's brilliant. And of course, more people coming to the church will mean we have to change. And it's not always comfortable to change, is it? But it's worth it. Because what we'll gain will be much greater than the inconvenience. Because we'll see God working in people. And that's the whole point of it, isn't it? So I want us to all be praying that these leaflets will make a difference.